the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah, yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Thanks for checking in. We're live downtown Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino is the spot. Big news today in the NBA as the New York Knicks fired their head coach, Tom Thibodeau. And to talk about it now, we go to the Progressive guest line. Brian Mahoney joins the program, has covered this team in the NBA for a long, long time for the Associated Press. Brian, thanks for the time today. We appreciate it as always. Let's go back to yesterday. Let's say you came on the show yesterday and I said, Brian, I'll give you 2-1 or like 3-1 odds that they're going to fire Tom Thibodeau as the head coach. Do you think you would have taken that number?
I would have felt pretty confident saying he's going to stay. I would have, you know, if you told me that maybe 2 weeks ago or a month ago, I'm not too sure. But after getting to the conference finals and after, you know, Jalen Brunson had supported him publicly, I would have been pretty confident making my bet that he stays at this point.
Do they fire him if the series against the Celtics goes the way everybody thought it was going to go? Tatum doesn't get hurt. They don't blow those 20-point leads. And the Knicks lose like a 5 or 6 game series. Is he fired then?
I think then we wouldn't have been as surprised. You know, look, if they had lost to Boston, which like we all thought was going to happen, you would have said, okay, that's 3 straight years they've lost in the second round. There's no progress. We've hit our ceiling. But they then got past that. And, you know, you did advance now. So you had done better than last year after you gave the guy a contract extension. So to do that and then fire him, I think that's what caused the surprise that there is out there.
Yeah, good point about the extension. I'll take it a step further. They were small favorites to win the series. What if they beat Indiana and then lost in 5 to the Thunder? Was that then good enough?
You know, Paul, you kind of wonder that, I guess, now. Because if they were going to fire him again after making progress, maybe they were going to do it anyway. Maybe ultimately there was nothing that was good enough. But, you know, you could say, yes, okay, well, he got us there, but we beat Indiana. You know, they weren't a top team. But we're not good enough to beat a team like Oklahoma City. I guess if you want to justify it, they could have done it any way they wanted to. But the bottom line is it's hard to do it on the win-loss record, the success on the court.
Yes. So can you elaborate on how frustrating it can be where you tweeted, just maybe this is something you talk about, but the Knicks don't talk about anything and they're shrouded in secrecy and you can't get a meeting with the team president and the president Rose gets along with Thibodeau and about you just, the guy never even has a press conference. Can you take us through that?
Yeah, Paul, you know, I think something like this, you know, there are a few times a year, I think, you know, an organization does need to talk directly to the media because it's to the fans. It's not us whining. Like, we can all do our jobs without talking to the team president. But you know, the fans, I think, deserve an explanation why you're firing a coach who just led us to our furthest in 25 years. So, but Leon Rose hasn't talked to us on the record since 2021, I'm pretty sure it was.
Oh, my God.
You know, he'll say hello to us when we're on the sideline and things like that. It's, you know, it's not an adversarial relationship. He just is not comfortable talking in public. James Dolan doesn't like the media, so he's not encouraging him to do it. And there's no rule that they have to. So, you know, like I said, I think it's something like this. I think when there's something that's so confusing to people, I think you should have to justify it by talking. And right now, you know, we have no indication that's going to change.
Oh, amazing. So then this is probably like throwing darts here, but if you had to guess then, Brian, do you think they have their next guy? Like, they have to have a plan here, right? Like, I would think the next coach is already, like, locked up and in the bag, and they know who they're going to go to. But what if it's not? What if it's willy-nilly, and they don't have a guy in the next, you know, week to 10 days or 2 weeks or whatever that might be?
Yeah, Mitch, I'm literally just talking to my editor about that a few minutes ago. You know, is this a coaching search, or is this basically they're going to tell us who the new coach is in 5 minutes? Because, yes, you would think if you're firing a guy who was successful, you're not saying, oh, maybe we'll find someone else. You think maybe you already have the someone else. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if this happens pretty quick. I would, you know, it would surprise me a little bit to say, okay, this isn't our guy, but we're not sure what our guy looks like.
Yeah, and the season just ends Saturday, and now they pull this. Do you have, is there Malone rumors? There is confusion about who's next. Do you have a couple guesses on what they could do and direction they could go?
Malone is the name who's thrown out most, and it makes a lot of sense. Obviously, he's got ties to the organization. He's won a championship. you know, a guy who's available right now, and fans will understand that kind of move. You know, the flip side of it, I guess, is he has a lot of the same characteristics Tom Thibodeau has. You know, talking about a guy who maybe rubs people the wrong way after he's been there long enough and things of that nature. So, you know, would it be an upgrade? I don't necessarily know about that, but I think it's someone who certainly should be considered and will be considered.
Could they go college?
Yeah. I could see that for sure. I mean, people, of course, will speculate Jay Wright based on the Villanova ties the Knicks have. You know, people thought at some point, you know, Dan Hurley would be a guy they might look at with his success and the fact that he wants to be in the East. If he ever makes the move to the NBA, that might be a place he would do it too. So a college name was certainly out there. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if they go that route because, again, they're firing a guy who was successful in the NBA. So maybe they think there's something outside of that where they have to look at.
I keep getting peppered with Patino to the Knicks. What would you think about that move?
Oh. You know, I don't know why I didn't think of it already. That would also make a lot of sense. You know, it's he wants to be in New York, you know, and he's in New York right now, and he's had success at the Garden, and people in New York love him. So, yeah, why not Rick Pitino? I could totally see that. You know, again, if they go the college route, I don't know if they would favor him over a Calipari or a Jay Wright, but he's certainly a name that has to be considered.
This is wild because I asked Mitch yesterday, will the Knicks overreact? They certainly did as well. Can I take it a step further? Will they make a big trade now?
You know, I think people might have thought that was more likely. That you would keep the coach and make a trade. Maybe if you say, okay, you know, what can we turn this team into here? If they're, you know, people throw, obviously, you know, could they get in the Giannis sweepstakes if there is one, if they put Towns and someone else in that deal? I think a trade would have surprised people a little bit less, and maybe that will still happen, of course, but then changing the roster than changing the coach at this point in time.
So you mentioned it earlier, too, about what happened against the big three in the regular season. 0-10 against Cleveland, Boston, and OKC, and the average margin was 16 a game. Do you think that was important in what happened today and also how big the news is to tie it in maybe about how he runs guys into the ground and these starters play so many damn minutes?
Yeah, you know, I think Paul, again, if you were looking to make a change after the regular season, you know, you could look at all those things and say, okay, we have reason to do it now. Yeah, we didn't match up against the best teams in the NBA. We didn't develop our bench. All those criticisms of Tom Thibodeau, I think you could have said, yes, we can make this move now, even though we won 50 games. But then, yes, when you go and, you know, you make those comebacks against Boston and win that series, I understand Tatum got hurt, but they were basically up 3-1 when that happened. They'd won twice in Boston, so it's not the reason they beat the Celtics. And then, you know, look, they lost to a team who's been playing great basketball. I know on paper it's an upset, but the Pacers have been as good as anyone except the top couple teams since January. So, you know, it's hard to now make that move and say the regular season stuff matters as much, you know, because in the playoffs when things do matter most, they did pretty well.
Yeah, and we've been talking to you for 7 years, and we joke that, you know, it's hazard pay because they're so bad in the bad basketball that you had to watch. Can you take us through just how bad this organization was before Tibbs got there?
Yeah, you know, it's why I appreciated Tom Thibodeau, even though, you know, he's got a hard style and he's not particularly interesting to, you know, he's not Doc Rivers or Steve Kerr who likes to joke around. He's very serious. But the bottom line is he made the job easier. He wins games. There's not a lot of controversy. So, you know, and you know, look, I know a lot of, I've lived in the New York area my whole life. I know a lot of Knicks fans. I know they've been happy with the team winning again. So there's a lot to like about Tom Thibodeau from the, you know, just the basketball aspect of it.
Yeah. Here's another wrinkle to it, Brian. And, you know, you pay attention to the betting odds, but have you seen the odds to win next year's NBA championship yet?
No, I haven't looked that far yet. What are they?
Here you go. A couple of books have it up. The Thunder are clearly the favorites, around 2-1. The Knicks are second on the board. So they just fired the head coach at various books. They're either tied with the Pacers or they're legitimately the second shot on the board, like at the Westgate here in Las Vegas, to win the title next year. And they said, no, you're no good. Bye.
Wow. Yeah, that's you're got to be looking for something, a major home run, I guess, when you're making that move. Again, it's a it's a risk. I'm sure you guys would use that word too. It's there's not much further you can go and have it be a success. So, the change in a coach here, again, you're taught not to be too surprised that things happen. But after all they've been through, to actually go as far as they went and then make a change, it's not the thing you would have guessed right off the bat.
So is this considered a fun day off for you?
I guess maybe I get overtime pay now, but it wasn't what I had planned. You think you're safe. When you have a team that loses, there's always a worry. Okay, I'm going to have a coaching search this summer. This and that's going to happen. I wasn't worried about a coaching search 2 days after the season ended when it's a good season. So but I guess, like I say, it's always something's going to happen. Don't ever get too satisfied because things are going to change.
Well, you're a great sport as always. We can't thank you enough for popping on today, Brian. Thank you so much for the time. We appreciate that.
Thanks, guys.
Great job.
Be good. There
appreciate
you go. It. Follow him on X at Brian C. Mahoney. He covers the NBA and the Knicks for the Associated Press. He was on the Progressive guest line.
How is that allowed? The president hasn't talked to the media in 4 years?
And yet players are obligated to talk to the media after every single game?
Yeah.
President doesn't say anything?
Everything? Yeah.
I didn't know that. I was not aware of that. Were you?
Oh, no.
But this is different, though, because this has been the duration now of Thibodeau's existence as the head coach. He has to say something now to get a feel for where they're going. And you're not going to have to bet on this stuff, there's going to be no feel. You just have to get the inside information from people behind the scenes.
Patino? Oh. Can you up 72? Oh, my God.
A finals version of door number one or door number two is up next. We'll compare markets like McDavid or the field next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN. Time to play everyone's favorite Follow the Money game. Live from the VSiN studios.
Hey guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
This is door number one.
New high score!
What does high score mean? New high score, is that bad? What's that mean? Did I break it?
Or door number two.
You get nothing! You lose! Good day, sir!
Here's Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard.
All right, great job from everybody involved behind the glass. Fresh new look to the Open.
Good.
And here we go, Paulie. Door number one, Connor McDavid to win the Conn Smythe around plus 110. Or door number two, the field versus SGA to win the NBA Finals MVP.
You came up with this. Good timing. It's door number one all day. Today, Greg Wyshynski, ESPN.com, unveiled his straw poll for the Conn Smythe.
Oh, is it totally lopsided?
McDavid won last year in a losing effort. Could it happen again? He's the only player. He talked to over two dozen people who cover hockey who have a vote. He's the only player to appear on every ballot we collected. He was ranked first overall on 71%. Every ballot that didn't have McDavid first had him second.
There you go. That is some strong information.
Last year he became the second non-goalie in history to win the Conn Smythe in a losing effort. They lost in seven. Now he's trying to become the fourth player ever and the first since Crosby in 16-17 to win consecutive Conn Smythe trophies.
So even if Draisaitl goes nuts and the Oilers win?
Look at that. That's look at that. Isn't that
overwhelming
something?
Evidence right there? Yeah.
Yeah. Condolences. Skinner wasn't...
No, he's not going to... No, I already... That ship has sailed a long time ago.
Yeah, I'm just pointing out, though, he wasn't... No Skinner here.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's got to be door one.
Door number one, Florida Panthers minus 1.5 games plus 170, or door number two, the Pacers plus 2.5 games plus 105.
Well, I picked and bet Florida in six, so I guess I have to go door number one.
You also bet the Thunder in five,
one.
I guess, right?
Yeah, that's a tough one, but that's... You know, you also have OKC's issues on the road and the 0-6 ATS and getting pounded in game three at Minnesota and Minnesota dropping 126 in the next game, even though Randall and some others didn't. But it's a tough call for the Stanley Cup final.
Okay, then how about this? Door number one, Oklahoma City sweep plus 330, or door number two, the Oilers and Panthers go seven games, about plus 185.
Yeah, I go door two. is what I just said, too, about OKC's issues on the road. You?
The Pacers get one. I'd probably go seven games. One. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's going to be a game where they shoot 45% from three.
Yeah, they hit 18 of 40, whatever it is.
Yep.
They'll be in that range.
Halliburton goes off, whatever.
Yeah, it probably comes at home.
Yep.
And now you can't really be surprised, even though, again, the Thunder are just such huge favorites here. It happens all the time in the NBA.
These are quick picks at Will Hill.
All right.
Door one, Tkachuk, Barkov, Draisaitl, McDavid all score a goal in game one, 42-1. Draisaitl scores a goal in every game, door two, 40-1.
I'll take door two. You're asking a lot there. Four things have to happen from different players there in door number one. Give me Draisaitl, 11-1, by the way. He was yesterday at the Westgate to win the Conn Smythe. Highest number, I think, anywhere.
All right.
Pizza money on that. But from what you're telling me with that straw poll, I might as well burn it already. That can happen. Get to the power play. You never know how they're going to call a series, although they typically swallow the whistles in the Stanley Cup final. But this guy is, what a sniper he is from that angle. How can he get it in the net half the time? He's working with, he's almost parallel with the net and the goalie, and he can get it in over the shoulder sometimes. It's wild how good that guy is and accurate, so I'll take him in every game.
High-scoring series, low-scoring series, mix of both. What do you think? It's a tough read. I don't know.
I think we get a mix of both. I'll take the easy way out there.
Get that?
Because I could see a game or two where Skinner just doesn't have it, and this guy and McDavid are so good, and they're so deep right now that they're just going to pepper, Bob with so many attempts that they're going to get four or five in.
Props at Will Hill. Door one, a player will have 20 assists in a finals game. Door two, a player will have 70 combined points, rebounds, and assists. Door one's 40-1. Door two's 25-1.
Oh, I'm trying to do the math right now. So basically, SGA has to have 40, 15, and 15.
I have a Burton control.
Joker did that right against OKC. Yeah. I think he had 70 or more in one game. Well, you know what? That's difficult. SGA might be able to do that. I'll take door one because I think we are going to get a game or two in this series where it's going to be 140 to 127. I really do believe that, especially if the Thunder just go... I'm sorry, if the Pacers go 1,000 miles an hour, the Thunder can match them. And so that would open up the idea here that with that many points, some guy might just go nuts with the assist. So I'll take that.
Okay.
Which way do you go?
At that. I would say door one.
Yeah. Or can SGA have 50, 10, and 10?
Oh, God. That's
what it takes, right?
Yeah, I know. You go back when you look at some of these, it's crazy. This is a quick pick as well. Same price. Door one. Chet has at least 20 and 8. Turner has 10 and 7. Hartenstein has 10 and 8. Door two. Halliburton has a double-double. SGA makes two threes or more. Siakam has 25 points. Chet has a double-double. Williams hits two threes. They're both 45-1.
That's all that has to happen.
Get that. I know, but you could get... I think you're going to see some crazy scores in this series.
I'll go door number
and
two.
Pace.
I'll go door two. I was listening to Money Moves earlier today. JVT brought up a great angle here that this might not be... this might not be the series for Isaiah Hartenstein. And his thought was, because... the Thunder would go Hartenstein and Chet against I'm getting my teams mixed up here. Because Tibbs went big, this is probably more of a series where the Thunder don't have to do that. They're going to go small and still match the Pacers with the rebounding advantage here. The Pacers had to try to go to big to match the Knicks. They might not have to do that against the Thunder, I guess is my point. I think I mix it up there, but you understand the path I'm trying to take.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'll go door number two.
I'll do that, too. I think you're going to see some crazy tickets cash in this series.
Okay.
With what's going to happen.
I know that was confusing, but my apologies for that. But, yeah. Okay, and door one or door number two here, as we continue and follow the money, it's Visa, the Sports Betting Network. I really wish that you could bet on this. Because I don't care about TV ratings. I really don't. But if you could bet on it, I think that would be a lot of fun. Door number one, TV ratings in Oklahoma City, or door number two, TV ratings in Edmonton. And there has to be a spot where this is available, by the way. Probably, yeah.
It's going to be door number two because drama. OKC wins a short series. You're not going to have, okay, if it's game six, if it's game seven like last year, which could play out again, this is it. We can win the title here. We can win the cup tonight and the drought, whatever it is. Or we could get, you know, or we go home 3-2.
Yeah.
So I think the longer series happens in the NHL door two. Because it's the sense of urgency. It's the winner-go-home scenario that leads to still you could say, okay, she's going to win the title, let's celebrate. But if it's 3-0, and plus, what if they're blowouts?
Yeah, what if they win the first couple of games by 20-plus points?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I probably would not want to bet on any market, against any market, by the way, on a team that's on the precipice of winning the Cup in Canada. It's been so long. So, there you go. Door one or door two. That should be up. Maybe that is globally speaking to bet on this stuff. That'd be fun during the football season too. Like, how big of a rating will the Sunday night game get between the Cowboys and the 49ers, you know?
They didn't act up in Edmonton last year, did they?
I don't think so.
Well, it's you go crazy when you win it. That's why what Vancouver did the 2 years was so bizarre.
Yeah, 94 and 2011.
Vancouver, they burned the city to the ground when they lost.
Yeah.
Which made no sense in 94 and whatever the year was, they lost to Boston.
Right.
But you worry about, hey, Canada finally wins it, 1993, if you don't want them act up. How'd you like to play Circa Survivor or Circa Millions contest for free? Winner Circle Proxy giving away one free entry to each contest, plus full proxy service. You'll be paired with a VSiN host for strategy all season long. Enter now for your chance to win. WinnerCircleProxy.com/VSiN. WinnerCircleProxy.com/VSiN. Are we up to 400? I think we got
close.
400 for Survivor already.
Yeah, they have not updated the numbers from today, so my guess is it's probably beyond 400 at this point. So 15,000 is going to happen. It's inevitable.
Maybe 20.
Yeah, I think that could
happen. Yeah,
possible as well. Have you added any more bets, by the way, for the NBA Finals or the NHL?
No.
It's a really good market that you found at DraftKings. Will the Thunder win every single home game in the Finals, minus 120?
Here's another one I found. Will the Thunder trail at any point in the series? Will they lead out? You know, Mets minus 220. That's a better hedge, I think, if you want. Maybe people can disagree.
You mean trail the series?
Will the Thunder ever trail? No, like 2-1 Indiana.
Yeah, I'm saying. Yeah.
That I saw like minus 220.
Oh, wow. Okay. Jensen Lewis on the program coming up next. He's calling some of these college baseball games. Does he expect chaos to continue? How can we capitalize from a betting standpoint?
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
A lot has happened since the opening of the college baseball tournament, and we head out here to the Progressive guest line as VSiN host. He's on mornings, VSiN by the book, books with right here on VSiN, obviously, and he's on the Progressive guest line. Jensen Lewis joins the program. Hey, buddy, you went to Vanderbilt. They were the number one overall seed in the tournament. They're no longer in it. What the hell happened?
I think you guys could have gotten a hit with runners in scoring position more than we did. When you wait till the last game you play in to have that happen, and then the baseball gods don't shine down on you for the ground rule double. I don't know if you guys saw the ending to that game with Wright State where they had the drive to right center field. It goes over the fence. If that doesn't happen, Vandy ties the game, and who knows if they make the ultimate comeback yet again. Against Wright State there in the ninth inning. But an embarrassment upon embarrassments, fellas. Top two seeds from the SEC can't get it done. Vandy not reaching the regional final, first team in history ever to do that. Tim Corbin, some questions to answer there. They're going to have to be very active for some offensive bats in the transfer portal, something they really have not done. The ACC has already won this postseason. I mean, they have dominated. They got a chance to get, three teams into Omaha. So it's going to be pretty intriguing to see how these super regionals play out.
Does that continue? You're calling North Carolina and Arizona. North Carolina was impressive against Oklahoma yesterday. Their odds obviously are shrinking by the day to win this whole thing. Are they that good? Can they win the whole thing?
I think so. And honestly, guys, when you look at just kind of where, North Carolina is overall, they've been the class of the ACC for most of the year. And if you look at what Gavin Gallagher did, their star middle of the order bat, how about 13 hits and 10 ribbies just in the regional. That got him most outstanding player honors there. Jake Knapp, who's been their ace pitcher, was pretty impressive in his start against Holy Cross. So they've been pretty consistent across the board throughout not only the regular season into the ACC tournament, but taking care of business. If you're looking for Arizona potential upset, Aaron Walton, their center fielder, is their stud, and they'll rely obviously on some more of the power bats there to try and counteract some of the UNC pitching staff. But I got to say, guys, I'll be very shocked if Arizona can kind of hang with how hot North Carolina is on both sides of the ball. So be an interesting one starting at noon there on Friday.
Do you have a guess or reasons why this has been chaotic and it's happening? It's not lose and go home. I mean, still you have double elimination, but with not only what happened to Vandy in Texas, what UTSA's doing, what Little Rock almost pulled off. How the hell can you be 14-1 to win a baseball game? And they did.
Yeah, honestly, Paulie, that would have been the 16 over the one analogy right there for our men's basketball bracket buster. So, you know, the fact that they even got to a winner take all game seven is a credit to them. You know, Murray State almost blew a huge lead against Ole Miss and Oxford, but they get it across the line. UTSA was really, really impressive. Remember, they're in the backyard there for UT Austin. So there was a lot of kids there, a lot of fans. Actually, ironically, had been alum as far as fans go, and then also families that live in the area. So, honestly, this is the most chaos I think I've seen in the tournament, just knowing how many national seeds, Paulie, have fallen by the wayside and the early exits. I mean, Eugene, Oregon's 2-Q, they actually had a really nice path to Omaha and just kind of fumbled it. So, anxious to see now if those national seeds that got their scares, if you will, in the regional round, you know, are at attention when they get going Friday and Saturday.
I'm looking at some of these pre-tournament numbers. UTSA globally, they were 175-1. Murray State 700, right? Even like Miami was 175-1. We got feedback today from a local who got 250-1 on Miami not that long ago.
Wow!
And there are other teams with triple digits. So if you had to make a bet right now on a team to win the whole thing, like who would you gravitate to?
You know, I liked Arkansas. You know, just they're so damn balanced. You have Vahivo Aloy, who is going to be a star at the next level, SEC Player of the Year. Dave Van Horn at home is nearly impossible to beat unless you're Kansas State. I just think that Tennessee is a little too emotional. And guys, they have a tendency to kick the ball around, so defense could kind of do in the Volunteers there late in games and on the road at Bomb Walker. If you've never been to Fayetteville for a regional, let alone a super regional, that's about as good an atmosphere as Alex Box Stadium there at LSU. It's insanity out there. So that certainly is the big time series. I think if you're looking at teams, I know I mentioned North Carolina. I don't know if UCLA has enough, to get across the line. Duke is the intriguing one just because they've been really consistent from a pitching standpoint. They got a boatload of left-handed pitching. Their offense is very patient. They do not swing and miss. I had them down in Athens just this past weekend. Just a note on them for you guys. I was talking to you before the break. They're kind of day-to-day on Ben Miller, their stud in the middle of the lineup. He got hit by a pitch, and he was out for the regional final. And then one of the more absurd things, I think you guys have touched on it, we touched on it by the books, A.J. Gracia is their star center fielder. Their moniker this year, guys, has been Blue Collar. So when they hit a home run, they have this Duke construction helmet they put on in the dugout. And by rule for the NCAA, you can't take a prop outside the dugout to the field of play. It's for a safety reason. And A.J. Gracia was ejected from that game celebrating with teammates. And I mean, he was only a step or two out of the dugout trying to actually toss the helmet back in so as to not violate the rule. By rule, if you're ejected, you're suspended for the next game. So there's a potential, if that's not overturned, that Duke could be down their two best players against maybe the best Cinderella story going right now in Murray State. And so it's just kind of something to watch as you get into the next couple of days, we get news on that. But Duke is certainly, I think, a dark horse just with their pitching. They're very, veteran laden as far as the lineup goes. I would say that they would be one to kind of watch for if they get healthy and they get right.
Incredible. Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Jensen Lewis, host of VSiN by the Books, 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern time here with Dave Ross. He's on the Progressive Guest Line. Do you think there was something to that wonky weekend that LSU had, where maybe they're right for the picking, and West Virginia at 3-1 to win that series anyway outright would be something to consider?
Absolutely, Mitch. I was at the Tucson, called the Tucson Regional last year. That's the one that West Virginia defeated Grand Canyon. That was a 3-4 matchup. Both the top seed Arizona and the 2-seed Dallas Baptist ended up getting bounced by those two teams. It was Randy Mazey's last year as head coach, and they had J.J. Weatherholt, top pick for the St. Louis Cardinals, their star shortstop. So Steve Sabins, who was their assistant head coach in waiting, has done just a remarkable job. And they were kind of the unsung program this year, guys. Started a bit slow, but really came on at the end of the year. They were in line to potentially host a regional there at West Virginia. Did not get that, but they would certainly be a thorn in LSU's side if they can continue their offensive prowess. And I think as long as you can kind of manage emotions there, because fellas, take it from someone who pitched there. I mean, they are the most hospitable, probably outside of Mississippi State. It's the most hospitable fan base in the SEC. Like, they will treat you so right. You need a nap after eating from BP and all the food and all the tailgating. But man, when it comes to first pitch, they want to beat the brakes off you, and you're just enclosed, you know, in this box, you know, ironically. So I think if West Virginia manages the emotions and they can potentially continue what they did offensively, then they're right there with LSU, no question about it.
If you had to project into the future down the road in the next couple of years, Derek Stevens is going to be on, owner of Circa, coming up in the next hour. He has said for, you know, a long time that he thinks that this sport is the next biggest thing to take off from a betting standpoint. Do you see it getting that far where it's like a major talking point and a major betting event like every year starting sometime soon?
I think the more that, and you know, obviously a great privilege to be part of the coverage here for ESPN and doing it. I just think now, and you guys know this, the more you can watch the games, the more you can have access, and the more you can kind of touch these guys and be a part of it. Absolutely. You start to gravitate towards them. The entertainment factor, you know, whether you're okay with bat flips or all the eye black and, you know, the talking smack back and forth. I mean, there, it's certainly an entertainment value that has not been there. Probably, you know, since I played, at least from that point on, the last 10 years, it's really augmented there. I'm kind of anxious to see, just from guys that can make more money potentially staying in college now with NIL and the revenue share versus, you know, having to make that jump to pro ball, you're going to see more talent stay a little bit longer. And so some of those household names you'll get to see for years.
Jack Caglione is making his debut tonight for the Royals. Did you bet him to hit a home run?
I took him for a hit. I took him for two more total bases, and I may have to sprinkle. He's got a great matchup against Pallante tonight, and I'm telling you guys, I'm thrilled that we got him at 40-1 to win American League Rookie of the Year. I think he's down to like 9-10, so love having that ticket in pocket. Guys, I remember writing a report for our Guardians Live broadcast last year. I did, because the Guardians are the number one pick. And I'm like, this is who I would have taken. He's an aircraft carrier, man. That's who you build around for the next 10 years. Mm. Can't wait to watch him rest of the year.
Awesome stuff, Jensen. Enjoy those games, by the way, that you're calling with North Carolina and Arizona. Thanks for the time. We appreciate that.
Always. Thanks, fellas.
Yep. There you go. And he was on the Progressive Guest Line, host of Eason by the Books, mornings here at 7 a.m. Eastern Time with Dave Ross. Up next, props for tonight. And we'll expand on that, because I think if he homers tonight, the current number on the board is going to be long gone, probably starting tomorrow. Full slate of games tonight in Major League Baseball. Paul, I'll throw some red-hot batters at you right now and some numbers for their player props this evening. A couple guys here. Cal Raleigh continues here. And again, over the weekend, he was 120-1. I think that was still Sunday, to win the MVP, down to like 25-1. He's going to have to take, well, he'll need an injury to judge, right? That's probably going to last like a month.
Yeah,
for him to probably win that award. Our buddy Weston found this. There was a book, a legal book, that put up Aaron Judge versus the field. You get the entire American League.
Yeah.
Not named Aaron Judge at 15-1.
In early June. Unbelievable.
That was worth a bet to him, and I don't blame him.
Yeah, I know.
Right? So Raleigh last week, 8-23, 6 home runs. Over 1.5 total bases tonight, plus 120. To go yard is plus 275. And there you see it on the screen. 30-1 to win the American League as we speak. He is down to, like, I think 6-1 thereabouts to have the most home runs on the year. Great story here.
Yeah. Certainly I'd rather have him than Witt, who's in a funk as well.
Yeah, no doubt.
Have that, yep.
So plus 275. Maybe the total bases of plus 120 would be a good one. Two other players. We did not mention them earlier. One, Junior Caminero for the Rays. 9-25 in the last week. 4 home runs, 3 doubles. Total bases tonight over 1.5 is in the plus 125, maybe plus 130 neighborhood. Home run is plus 360. And another guy, you know, a lot of runs being scored. Only 4 last night by the Yays, but that ballpark is very batter friendly. It's Lawrence Butler. Had a good game again last night. He's 10-24 over the last week. That is a 417 clip with 2 home runs and 2 doubles. Home run tonight is plus 450. That's not awful. But over 1.5 total bases against Pablo Lopez is plus 120. There's some like juicy prices tonight with total bases based on guys mm-hmm. who have had like a great, you know, week of hitting.
So you're just going to play Caglione the home run? Or how creative are you going to get?
No, I'm probably like Sprinkle. Jensen. I might add some other
All
stuff.
Right. 2 total bases is plus 140.
Yeah, okay.
2 hits, runs, RBIs is $1.10.
Yeah, I'm in because, again, the home run prop, I bet today, very small, plus 650 to have some fun for tonight. If he goes yard tonight, all those numbers are going to be not even close to what they are today. Like tomorrow, they're going to be, what, 4-1 to hit a home run?
I'll tell you, he's not the only one that thinks this is Skeens part two that you see from, you know, the precipitous drop now with the odds.
Well, he's down to 5-1 at Caesars, which...
He hasn't played a game.
You can't possibly bet that number.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, man. And well, what if they call Roman Anthony up? What's sure. he going
to
be?
Sure, he'll go down to, what, 15-1 then? But are the yep. Red Sox, you know, a bunch of these teams, by the way, are doing that finally. The Mets did it today with one of their prospects, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So
3.32, 15-56 in 15 home runs, 56 RBIs, and 50 games at the minors.
How have you played it?
I haven't done anything with it. I got to wait and see. I'm not going to crown the guy before. Plus, these guys usually struggle to start off the gates. They're nervous, the expectations. I remember watching Chris Bryant's first game. He had the golden sombrero. I don't even think he hit a foul ball.
Yeah, that can happen.
I mean, I think that's more likely to happen. That pitcher, yes.
That's why
I could say a pitcher could come in 5 strong innings, maybe throws it. But as a batter,
I mean,
just
Strasburg?
Think. Absolutely. Strasburg, Pryor, Skeens.
Right.
Plenty of examples.
They deliver.
Gary Wood. But with a hitter, I just think you're pressing and you're nervous, and then you strike out or try to do so too much.
I'm totally proceeding with caution. I just want to have a little action on it just to be entertained by tonight. It's nothing to write home about. But
yeah, I got
it. And I also do believe that if he hits a home run tonight, though, you can kiss.
Okay.
Like that's going to be long. So you just want to keep with like Yelich. Yelich is plus 130 against Hunter Green here tonight for total bases.
I like that. Yes.
Over 1.5.
Well, yeah, he's on fire hitting 500. Going back the last 11 games, and Milwaukee has owned Cincinnati in that ballpark, 18-22. Green has bad numbers against the Brewers. Peralta's been great in that ballpark. Henderson's 4-10 against Kirby. Santana's 15-48 against Rodon. And Muncy has good numbers against McGill.
Home runs in his career.
There you go.
That's the last week. I'm sorry.
O'Hearn, 4-52. 8 RBIs last 11 as well. And Kirby has all kinds of issues, not only this year, but last 5 against Baltimore. So if you want to stick with O'Hearn as well, I'm not going to put you off Carpenter props either. You figure someone's going to pick the click Detroit against Chicago tonight. They've won 11 in a row in Chicago, and it was home run derby yesterday.
You brought this guy up last week, and he cashed. Do you have any interest in going to war with Ernie Clement with the Blue Jays?
Is it a lefty?
It is not.
He owns lefties.
It's not a lefty.
The big earn's delivered.
In the last week, 13-26, 2 home runs, 4 doubles, over 1.5 total bases tonight, plus 135. Home run is 10-1, but it's not a lefty tonight. Mick Abel, I think, is the guy that I'm seeing right now for the Phillies. I think there might have been a pitching change there, by the way.
It was supposed to be Sanchez.
It was supposed to be Sanchez, but I believe we have a pitching change there.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and hence the number is now minus 130 here with the Phillies. James Wood also, this continues.
Well, love him. Yep.
3 homers, 2 doubles, 2 stolen bases in the last week. Home run tonight, plus you love him tonight overall?
Well, the streak that he's on, too. Plus, he had that stretch where he was getting an extra base hit and an RBI in every game. 3.44 9 extra base hits, 19 RBIs last 14. Absolutely.
Yep.
And then was it Friday? He cashed right away. He had 2 hits in the first inning with that madness against Fott.
Here's the final player I'll give you tonight. It's back to the Brewers game against Hunter Green. Jackson Chirio is 10 of 28. Current streak, 3 doubles, 2 stolen bases, and a home run. He's plus 110. But you bet both guys here against Hunter Green? Home run tonight is plus 440 for him.
Yeah, 1-4 with an ERA of 8 last 6 against Milwaukee.
All right, there you go.
I'm going to put you off that. And your Kikuchi prop as well. He's number 1 in the league in walks.
Over 2.5 tonight is almost plus 150. Yep.
I got a couple here because, again, it's interesting to go up. And you got to go up there every day, VSiN.com. But I was reading Zach Cohn. Mm-hmm. WNBA. So he makes Washington a 1-point favorite against the Fever. And the Fever are minus 5.5. So he thinks Clark is worth 8 points, 8.5 points to the spread.
Yeah.
And how bad. And you touched on it yesterday that they lost to the worst team in the league. And if they lost at home to Connecticut lost by 40 to the Liberty.
Yeah, sure. In the span of 3 days, that all happened.
Now, they have some other injuries, too. But that's wild that he says Washington should be a road favorite here and how valuable Clark is to this team.
Well, and Washington has been feisty, by the way.
Yes.
So I don't hate the plus 5, and I've seen others make the case for that as well tonight.
Minnesota laying 12.5 against Phoenix. 2 best players out for the Mercury. And take a peek at Dallas and Seattle over 166. They have played. It's a lot of high-scoring games. And that one could go over, and that's the night game at 6:30 Pacific.
Okay.
Some other props up at Will Hill on the NBA Finals. Halliburton have a triple-double plus 330, SGA 4-1.
That's in game one?
No, it's for
for the whole series.
Yeah. Will a team be down 20 and come back and win?
Oh, wow.
4-1. Is that enough? We've seen it several times, and this is the cardiac kids with Indiana.
You get the entire series there at 4-1.
The whole series. Can someone come back down 20 and win?
Yeah, I don't hate it. I mean, by the way,
25 is offered, too.
What's that number?
I think it's 10-1. I got to look again.
Paul, don't forget, we saw with the Thunder as well. They were down, 30 on draft night against the Grizzlies?
Yeah.
Now, Ja got hurt in the second half of that game, but they came back to win that game.
Buzzer beater, 20-1.
I saw that.
2 games go to overtime, 25-1. Chet has at least 15-5 in every game, 11-1.
Yeah. I could see that.
I could see that, too. Siakam outscores Williams in every game, 16-1.
No, that won't happen.
Can Williams outscore Siakam in every game? It's also 16-1.
Well, that one I would actually lean on just because of OKC's defense.
Okay.
Maybe they take away Siakam the entire time. And Williams was really, really good in a lot of those spots against Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. SGA to have 25 in every game, $1.20.
Yeah. And that's another one that I noticed.
Yeah.
I think that's certainly doable. I already have a bet on him. I guess I could bet both, and I could win both or I could lose both. The yes on that, and then also averaging under 33.5 points a game for the series.
Yeah, and then we'll do this too Thursday when we get to game one. The DraftKings and William Hill did the records again.
Yeah.
Will someone break the record for most points, threes, rebounds, and assists? And the numbers are staggering about what players have accomplished and what the records are over the years. I'll give you one right now. Bill Russell had 41 rebounds in a game.
Yeah, it's probably not going to happen.
No. Introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, FirstBet, and VSiN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card. In the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at FirstBet to trigger the $500 try. You get $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature card. FirstBet gives you a $100 deposit match, and they completed at VSiN with the free pro subscription through August 31st, $200 value. One-time promotion limited to customers opening a new account. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. Get the $500 trifecta.
We'll head to Edmonton next. Talk Stanley Cup Final with the local perspective on how impactful Zach Hyman's absence will be on the series.